I want to begin this morning by dedicating the shir to a great man that was taken from us overnight without any sort of warning. He was over 80, but quite frankly, it was a surprise to us all. And he is not just someone that was a great rabbi and Jewish leader. He also is someone from our area. So I believe we should start the week by dedicating a few words in his honor. And that's Rav Gidon Perel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the former rabbi of Alon Shvut, and the first rabbi of Alon Shvut, until compulsory retirement was put upon him at 80, as is the law in the state of Israel. I don't know how many of you knew him, but we're talking about a town that's within at least a stone's throw from Efrat. We're talking about a man that came to Alon Shvut when there was nothing there, and remained its rabbi, as I said, until over 80 when he had to retire. He was a man that I just want to say two things about, because these are the ways I met him. Number one, I don't know if anyone here knows what it means to constantly feel the burden of the impoverished and the needy on your shoulders. I mean, many of you, I am sure, in the course of your lives, gave tzedakah. If you didn't, don't admit it. And a person comes to the door. Perhaps he has the authorization that he should have to collect tzedaka. And by the way, I'm just going to say in parentheses, I find it absolutely outrageous that in our particular town, there is an edict by the rabbis not to give tzedaka to people who don't have that authorization. And yet people do. I think it's wrong. They check them out, they make sure they're legitimate, and therefore you should get tzedakah. But if they're not checked out, and they're not necessarily legitimate on paper yet, then you shouldn't give tzedakah until they go through the procedures. That's in parentheses. Getting back to our story. I'm sure you all gave tzedakah, you don't think twice about it. The person comes to the door, you give him what you give him, be it by cash, by credit card, or whatnot, and you move on. Rav Gidon Perel of Alon Shvut was a man that constantly walked around thinking, who is needy and who do I help? Not by giving a few coins, but by giving proper amounts of money on the one hand and try to find them jobs on the other. And this chesed was known to many of us, but wasn't known to the masses because he did it naturally. What do I mean naturally? I mean he found out someone was needy. He started to collect money. He collected the money and gave it to them, no strings attached, usually without his name, and then he went on to the next case. And I know this from endless cases that I personally was witness to with this great man. So it wasn't just giving tzedakah, and it wasn't, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, to give tzedakah besimcha. It was to feel the burden of tzedakah. Because many of us have a problem. We translate from English to Hebrew and think it's the right translation. Correct? Bruce, you want examples? We've said it before. Lo ta'aseh chol melacha. You said it at Kiddush and Shabbos? Lo ta'aseh chol melacha? Arthur, you want to translate? What's lo ta'aseh chol melacha? Do not do any
work.
Well, if on Shabbos what's forbidden is work, then Rabbi, how come when I flick on the switch, which is not work, it's not okay? But when I take a chair up and down the steps all Shabbos, that's permitted. Obviously, melacha doesn't mean work. It means 39 forbidden acts. But when you have an art scroll chumash, or a sensino chumash, or a birnbaum chumash, or whatever chumash you're holding, you cannot say lo ta'aseh chol melacha on the Hebrew side, and then in the English side you're going to write, you shall not, 1 to 39, and list them out. You're going to take 2 pages on one word. So they just wrote work. And a lot of damage was done because of that. Another such example is the word tzedakah. Does anyone want to translate tzedakah?
Righteousness.
Justice, from the word tzedek. Tzedakah in Judaism doesn't mean charity. You know, if I feel like it, I can volunteer a sum of money. Tzedakah means if the person is worthy, as I said earlier, it was checked out and it's legitimate, then it's tzedek, it's justice to help them. Because one day, God forbid, you'll be in that situation and they'll help you. And that's the tzedek. That's the justice system that God basically set out. Rav Gideon Perel was that kind of man. He didn't believe tzedakah was out of the goodness of his heart to help people. He did it because he felt it's a mitzvah, and like any mitzvah, you do it professionally. How do you do it professionally? You find out about a case, you collect money, and you give it to that person. I can just tell you one of many stories that I heard just last week, but I heard about it years ago. There was a chassan and a kala that were about to get married. Now, Rav Gideon Perel, as you all know, was one of the formal rabbis of our area that can register for marriage. Does everyone know what that means? Or I'm talking Chinese this morning. You know, in New York, when you wanted to register for marriage, it had nothing to do with the Jewish ceremony, per se. But in Israel, when you register for marriage, that is the civil ceremony. So therefore, you go to a rabbi who is a registrar, formal registrar of the state of Israel, and they register you and your kala or your chassan for marriage. He was one of them. Now, I just want to let you know, and this is the second thing I wanted to mention, he was totally accessible. What do I mean? The man walked around, excuse me, with a stupid phone. Not a smartphone, a stupid phone. One of those old phones you can't even buy anymore. I can promise you, anytime I called him, he called me back. And I say this because I know many people that I write them emails, WhatsApps, send them messages, try to call them, never hear back from them. This man always called back. Well, if you wanted to register for marriage, usually you have to make an appointment between 8 to 4, 9 to 5. You got to come to the office through traffic, etc. Rav Gideon Perel, he said, I'm coming home at 7 o'clock. If you want to come over. Or Friday morning, a person went to the mikveh because they just became Jewish. Right? Converted? In the mikveh. In the mikveh, he registered them for marriage. In the room there where the balanit, the receptionist, usually sits, that's where he registered them for marriage. Totally accessible. Well, anyway, there was a couple that registered for marriage, and he asked them where they're getting married, and they said, well, they don't have that much money, so a few cakes, a few borekas, they're getting married outside, no party. He went like this. Oh, manyen. Ah, interesting. The couple leaves. He takes out an envelope. He said, someone just gave me this to give to Hassan and Kala. Take it. And it paid for their entire wedding. No strings attached. He heard the story. He took care of it. One thing about Rav Gideon Perel. The second thing, and this is where my own relationship developed with him, was his total involvement in the Beis Din of Gush Etzion, and amongst them, conversions. He set up a Beis Din in Gush Etzion because I believe we as Jews, if we have monetary disputes, we should go to a Beis Din. I find it preposterous that we don't try to go to a Beis Din. But beyond that, he set up a conversion court for communities that don't have conversion courts and for people that cannot convert in the state of Israel because we have a legal glitch. I don't know if you know it, Arthur, but the legal glitch of the state is that if you're not an Israeli citizen, you can't convert in the state of Israel with the formal courts. So if you're a lily white guy, you can't convert in the state of Israel. If you happen to have a father that's Jewish, a grandfather that's Jewish, namely you're eligible for the law of return, then and only then can you convert in the state of Israel. So in any case, he set up a court for those kinds of people. And my involvement with him was very much there. And I could see the man. He was tough. You went to Beis Din with this man. He asked you questions as a convert to be. He was tough. You had to prepare for that particular court. Believe me, you see this on the screen now. That was it. He wasn't smiling. On the other hand, when he found a convert that was authentic, he went out of his way to help them, to make sure that they had a mikveh date within 3 days, never more, to make sure they were married the day they went to mikveh, so the couple wouldn't have to separate. A couple that lived together their whole life wouldn't have to separate after the mikveh. He did everything possible to help them. And again, I saw this amazing trait of a man that did what was right. Not with I'm overly generous kind of a smile. This was what Judaism obligates. You do not torture converts. That is called Inui Hager. So tough in the Beis Din he was. You couldn't pass his Beis Din so easily. But if the convert passed, he did everything to help them. And that's where I saw him the most. I can promise you today, I see in front of me endless Jewish families. endless Jewish families that I refer to the Beis Din that are Jewish today and have Jewish families, and Be'ezrat Hashem, their children will have Jewish families, all because of him. And therefore, I thought it was important that we dedicate the shir and a few words to this man who was, as I said, part of the rabbis of our area, an amazing individual, was taken from us by God with a kiss overnight. And I personally will miss him greatly, and I believe many people, including the needy and the world of conversion, will miss him as well. Yehi Zichro Shel HaRav Gideon Perel Baruch.